Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. This is April, May, September, October. It is somewhere in the house. This 2023, I don't know at this point. Hey.
April 4th, right?
April Fool's. That was the other day.
Yeah, there you go. It's April 4th.
April 4th, 2023, this beautiful Tuesday morning. I have none other than Josh Milburn beside me. he preached a great message Sunday night. Enjoyed it very much over at Madrid. Then we got Miss Hannah in the studio. Miss Hannah, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty well, man. I mean, excited to be here and excited to, I think everybody's probably a little bit overjoyed. They may not even be up this morning. People stayed up last night to hear the rerun last night. I'm sorry to get you going already, but me and Hannah talked about it. I said, me and my wife missed it, so I had to stay up last night, and I couldn't wait.
I know, so we might not have many listeners this early.
If you're asleep this morning, I totally understand. I really do.
So what was your thoughts?
Oh, man. I tell you what, I didn't know my youth pastor was that. You know, it just adds to the list of the things he is in my life, I'm telling you.
He's very multifaceted.
Oh, man.
I was up, by the time I actually settled in last night, it was about 10:15, 10:20, and I was like, you know what? This is going to be really close to the time that Jay's going to be on there. So I clicked on my app, and it was us talking and laughing right after it happened.
Oh, yeah, man.
You just missed it then, because I think it's about 10:15 when it come on, bro.
Hey, well, but it'll be back up on the podcast, right?
It will be on the podcast. We're going to update the podcast today.
Well, there'll be an asterisk beside that one so people know.
I may just cut that part out. That's his own podcast right there. So we had to go to Central City yesterday and deal with some radio stuff right after, and I did not climb the tower.
Thank you, Lord. I'll go ahead and say that right now.
We're glad Aaron's still alive.
I got there, and I was like, this is a lot bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, if it was our tower, I think I would have climbed the 100-foot.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it would bother me too much being a small, confined space. But this is like one of those big four-legged ones.
Yeah.
And so, like, at the bottom, it's like 25 or 30 feet wide.
Yeah.
And then where I had to take the antenna down at would have been 107 feet up, roughly. And then you got up there, and then you had to walk, like, 10 to 15 feet across this little angle bar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nothing to hang on to. Like, I can't even walk on a regular floor.
Wow.
So I'm not walking on that 100 feet in the air. So if anybody climbs towers for a living, wanted to get our antenna down, and be gracious to us, great. If not, then the Lord will just bring you down somehow.
I hear you. My balance ain't very good either, so I can't blame you a bit. I mean, I even trip over cracks in sidewalks, so you know what I'm saying. So
you trip over the out of bounds lines like I've done in the basketball court?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe if we march around it 7 times.
There you go. Now she's speaking.
This is where you need some, like, this is where you need those drones that you can, like, I don't know if they got them developed or not, but they should. You know, like, you can fly a drone, and then you just push a button, and it takes a wrench out there, and you can do things in the middle of the air on a drone. There you go, right there.
Man, oh, man.
What an idea. That just helped somebody. All right, here we go. We don't have a lot of announcements for this day besides Man Up is going to be at the end of the month. Haven't heard details back on that, but April 27th, it's usually the last Thursday of the month. So if we progress forward like that, it's probably be like April 27th, Radiant Church. April 29th is Coffee with Jesus, 4 o'clock p.m. Yes. At Mount Zion, Miss Megan Sasha is going to be speaking at that one. And then April the 14th is the Aerial Ministry here at Bethel Fellowship, 6:30 p.m. over in the multipurpose building. All ladies are welcome to those events. And I'm always, Jason's trying to teach me his ways about when to walk through at the right time. It's amazing. It's amazing his gifting, not just at singing, It was profound. It was legendary. What other words could I describe yesterday with?
It was bold. It was
courageous. And
it was soulful.
I don't know if I'll go soulful.
I mean, there was a little bit of soul. There was something in there that I was not expecting. There was, like, I don't know if he was overcompensating, but you know what I mean?
Well, it
was
Rich Mullins is his hero.
That's right. That's right. He sure is. He's always been. I remember being our youth leader when I was just like 19 years old. And, of course, he's just 6-7 years older than me. But he would have that Rich Mullins playing all the time.
Did he have a Rich Mullins poster in the youth room?
I don't know if it was in the youth room, but he had one.
Probably in his bedroom.
I think it was in his bedroom or something. He sure did.
No, my favorite part of the whole song was the way he said water. He said, water.
I love I love the water. I love the whisper. Because he said, whenever you're doing the wrestling, you got to go down to whisper.
Yeah, I hear you.
You build it back up. I loved it.
He did know all about it, though. That's a good thing.
For somebody who don't like the song. All right.
I think Kelly made him practice.
I guarantee it.
All righty. Well, let's see here. Let's go right into John chapter 6
Let's go
today.
For it.
If we don't have a lot of announcements, we'll just go right in there, and we'll figure out what's going on here. Amen. In this, I think we finished the last verse in 27 yesterday. And now we're going to in John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do? What we might work the works of God. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who sent me. This is the new one. That was the context to set us up for where we're at today. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father give you the true bread from heaven. Oh, we did that yesterday. Okay. Yes. So we're at 34. I apologize. I was like, I don't know what I'm thinking. I was like, we've already covered Moses and the bread. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So I love this, and then we can all just jump in together and sing.
And sing.
So Jesus says, no, I am the bread of life, because you got to remember, just contextually where he's at, he was like, Moses gave you the manna, but my Father gave you the bread from heaven. And now Jesus is saying, I am that bread. And if you eat of me, you'll never hunger or thirst again. And I love this because I think it's a statement that when he enters into a life, when he changes a life, when we partake of him, it is something that is substantial. It's something that is not, this is where I think the mindsets of light switch salvation, where one day I'm good, one day I'm not, one day he loves me, one day he hates me.
Right.
I think it contradicts this. Because he said, if you'll eat of me, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst again. I feel you, I infill you, I pour myself into you. Now, I get it, we want more of him all the time, and I do understand all of the context around growing and sanctification and repentance and all that, but there's something about when we partake of him, it should fill us. And you even said it Sunday night a little bit, Pastor Josh, and I talk about it quite a bit too. If you've been saved and proclaiming to be saved for 40 years and you still use the vocabulary of, I hope I get to heaven.
Yeah.
You've missed the gospel.
Yeah, pretty much. It's what
you've
I believe
missed
too.
What it is.
Yep. Because, I mean, he gives you something that is for right now, and he gives it to you right now. It ain't like a, I mean, one of the things that I often say is, you know, people that say I hope, but actually he is our hope.
Sure.
But then again, a hope is something that might happen. Well, in Jesus we believe it, we can know that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm reminded about this. I believe Jesus was trying to show them here in these verses about this manna, was the manna that was fed to you guys in days of old is a manna that, you know, that your hunger, you ate a little bit and then you still hungered. Mm-hmm. You ate a little bit more, you still hungered. I gave it to you in the day, you still hungered. Well, I believe that Jesus is trying to say, I'm the bread that you'll never have to, you know, you'll never have to hunger more, because your hunger inside of you is going to allow you to stay in the position of being full, you know, to the point.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, and this is the, you know, this is the, he's going to say, if I'm not mistaken, is it seven I am sayings in the Gospel of John? And
wow.
I think there's seven I ams. This is the first I am. And the first I am he gives us is, I am the bread of life. And really, there is this thing in the Gospel when we talk about Jesus, we talk about saving, we talk about all this, is that there is this blessed assurance. Like, I'm not trying to figure out if I'm saved or not. I'm not waking up every morning thinking, does he love me today or does he hate me today?
Yeah.
Which one is it? Like, I know. Like,
yeah.
I know I know him and the power of his resurrection. I know him and the power of his saving grace. I know the power of a gospel. I'm not sitting here thinking, if I die today, well, I hope I get to heaven. I know I'll be in eternity with him. And it's not even about just getting to heaven. It's about being with him. It's about that relationship. It's about walking with him. But if I did die today, I know that I'm going because I ate of the bread that I'll never hunger or thirst again. Like,
that's
it,
right.
He fills me. And he seals me and he marks me. He even talked about sealing them earlier. It's like he and Ephesians talk about the Holy Spirit's the seal on this until the day of redemption.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then another part, I think it's maybe Romans, that talks about he's the seal until our bodies have been redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
That our bodies are groaning, but the Holy Spirit's groaning to protect us until we've been redeemed.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful thing. If he is the bread of life, he's saying, I am that bread. And if you'll eat of me, you will never thirst and hunger again. Now, I would say these people struggle with this saying, though.
Yeah.
Because it's common sense. Like, it's the same kind of thing with the woman at the well. If you drink of the water that I have, you'll never thirst again. She goes, oh, give me this water. Because I never want to thirst again. And it's a hard thing to understand at times.
Well, he's trying to change their mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he's trying to change the mindset of the church right now. You know, because making it be from one way that we think it ought to be to what it should be. You know, and if we can ever get to the point of, and I mean, I believe that as long as I'm alive, that I'll be speaking about hungering and thirsting and doing some of these, I don't know if you call them basic principles or not, but things that will allow us to continue to advance and continue to grow, continue to live in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so as long as I'm live, I that's what I'm going to preach and teach. As long as it's word. And I mean, I believe that's what we should do.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I do think that we should continue to be hungry and thirsting for righteousness. I do believe there's always that active sense to pursue more, to seek him. And I just love that he forever fills us and that, you know, he's just trying to remind them. I think this is ultimately what he's trying to do. He's trying to get them to understand this, that in the law, you had to come back. In the law, you kept coming back. You kept coming back. You kept coming back, trying to make sure that you're right, cover your sins, make atonement, all these things. And Hebrews tells us that he is the once and for all sacrifice, that he was the one that was an all-sufficient sacrifice. He did the work. There's no need for another. We do not need Jesus to die again. He died once, and it once was all was ever needed. It is finished.
Yeah.
And so in this, I believe he's just saying, he's reminded us with him, with the gospel, it's not a come back to the table every year and try to get right on the Day of Atonement. It's no, I'm feeling you. If you'll partake of this bread, there's no need to keep coming back. Because we're going to keep coming back. It's a tricky thing because we'll misinterpret what we're saying and say we should never seek him. We should never go after him. We should never pray. That's not what we're saying. We're saying spiritually at redemption, whenever I don't need to keep being saved.
Right. But you need to keep hungering and thirsting.
I need to keep growing.
Right.
I need to keep growing. But this whole idea that I get saved again and again and again, I mean, that's kind of what I grew up in. I got saved 713 times in 3 days.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's kind of like you kept on having to get saved.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then we're making his death a no effect. We're making almost a mockery of it.
Minimizing it.
And how many times can you be born again? I mean, we are born again of the flesh and the water.
Yeah.
Like, we're born of flesh and water. I mean, spirit and water. Sorry, spirit and water. And so...
Well, see, you see in Matthew 5 where it talks about the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a state of being filled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we have our we have coffee and we got water in here this morning, but anyway, well, we do. Where's yours at, brother?
Like, where's mine?
But no, I mean, as this program goes on, it'll get lower and lower and lower. Well, if you want more, you're going to go get it. So yours is just at the bottom right now, I guess. But no, so but what I'm saying is, you know, that the thing about the Lord is it's a state of always hungering and always thirsting, and you can't ever get enough of it.
Yes.
And I've used this analogy many times, and I'll just always be using it, but it's about like, you know, I remember as a child, you know, going to my mom, Granny and Pepaw's.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, when Granny would pour my Pepos coffee, she'd put a saucer under it. Mm-hmm. And actually, to be honest with you, she would either overfill it and allow that to fill the saucer up a little bit, or I remember Pepos pouring it in the saucer, you know, getting a little bit off the top of it to pour it in the saucer. Then I began to say, why did you do that? And actually, Pepos told me a few months ago, he said, I don't know why I did that. And I said, I think it was for me, actually, to remember that, you know, he ain't there to just fill me up, Lord, where my cup is overflowing. You know, in Psalms 23, where it talks about the cup. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's where how he wants us to overflow, where everything around us also gets saturated with everything he has for us.
Yes.
And then I began to ask, actually, some of the, this was a manna that I had about 8 months ago, probably 6-8 months ago. And I had a few older ones that tell me that says, actually, the reason that some of them done it was because as soon as it come out of the coffee pot, it was real hot. Mm. And so they put it in the saucer where it kind of cooled it down real quick, and then they drank it like that. You know, that way it wouldn't really burn their tongue because they wouldn't, you know. So for whatever reason, though, I believe that that's, if we hunger and thirst for it, it'll cause other people to hunger and thirst for it, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I think the difference of, you know, Old Covenant versus New Covenant is just like we were saying, like they had to work. They had to work in order to get what they desperately needed. But Jesus is saying, like, I love how Josh said that we are in a constant state of hunger, but we know that we don't have to worry about when we're going to be filled or how. Like, it's just automatic. We're hungry, we get filled. We're hungry, we get filled. So it's not an us thing, it's a him thing.
Amen.
It's him having an abundance. He was the ultimate atonement, and so now it's not about us anymore. It's about what he can do. So that takes the credit off of us, because before it's like, well, I did this and this and this, but guess what? Like, there's literally, we can do all that. Like, Jesus is still gonna fill the person who does nothing versus the person who does everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the person who submits to him. If two people are like the Martha and Mary, you know, like, and that's where we have to shift the focus off of. What am I doing for the Lord? What am I doing for the Lord? Because Jesus will fill the person right next to us who is barely scraping by. He'll fill them, even if we're being a church superstar, you know? And that's what I think is just, like, that's what, it just blows my mind that, like, the Lord is trying to say, like, it's not about what you can do anymore. Like, it's about what he's already done.
Yep.
So we can rest in that. And then it takes the pressure off of us so that we can truly run the race in unity and not worry about what I'm doing, what they're doing, what Billy Bob's doing.
That's it. Well, I mean, we have a parable for that, because there was the Pharisees and the Sadducee that was sitting there, and he did his long prayer, he did all this, he did all of his routine, went through all of his religious zealousness, and then this other guy, he's a sinner, comes in, basically rips his shirt, beats his chest, and says, I'm a sinner, save me, justify me, help me. And which one went justified, the parable said?
Wow.
The one that just beat his chest because he was hungry.
Yep.
And those who are hungry will be filled. He's the bread. Like, if you're hungry today, you're spiritually dry, he will fill you. All you have to do is ask him. Like, it's not about, I think sometimes it's, we think we have to be, well, actually, I know. I was taught growing up that you had to be, that you kind of got saved. And then once you got saved, then you had to clean yourself up. So you had to do it all.
Yeah.
And then once you clean yourself up, then once you get good enough, that's your sanctification. So the Holy Spirit didn't sanctify, you sanctified yourself.
Yeah.
And once you sanctified yourself enough, then the Holy Spirit would come and live in you. And then you got to speak in tongues, and then that was it.
Amen.
You arrived.
That's it.
And I'm like, whoa, I cannot sanctify myself. If I could sanctify myself, I don't need the gospel anyways. The Holy Spirit sanctifies me. The Holy Spirit grows me. The Holy Spirit convicts me. At regeneration, that moment that we're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in me. If he didn't, I couldn't be born again. Because the Spirit of God has to draw me. The Spirit of God, according to Ezekiel, is giving me a new heart. The Spirit of God's doing the whole work. He's taking the valve off. He's renewing me. He's making me new. He's doing this. And if I didn't have him, I'm never born again anyways. And I definitely can't get holy without him, because we kind of messed it up the first time. So it was this whole ridiculous ordeal, and nobody was ever filled. Like, everybody was always hungry. It was like, we got to keep going back to the table. We got to keep going back.
Yeah.
We didn't come back to the table because we loved what we love spending time with him. He's in communion with him. We kept going back to the table to see if we saved or not.
Come on.
And I'm like, my goodness, this doesn't seem like the gospel that I'm hearing about.
I hear you.
I want to come back to the table because he's just that good.
That's it.
I want to come back to the table because I love spending time with my dad.
Yeah.
I want to come back to the table because Jesus fulfills me, satisfies me, and my soul desires to be with him in his temple all the days of my life and behold his beauty. It's not so I can go to church every Sunday and see if I'm saved or not.
That's right. We got some input this morning, I think, from I think he's been listening for a while, but Brother Chris, it was on the Share-a-thon with us last week.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, anyway, this is the first time I think his input, but I mean, it's good.
Pastor Chris, welcome.
He said, Paul teaches in Philippians 4, be hungry and full at the same time.
That's right. I love that.
That's awesome, brother. And I mean, just like I'm so excited how the Lord will take something natural sometimes and compare it to spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's probably a few things within my life, I mean, you can never get enough of, you know what I'm saying?
What was it that Jason said yesterday, I believe? Jesus uses things that we are familiar with to reveal himself to us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He reveals himself through what is familiar to us.
That's good.
In the natural, because that's what clicks. That's what, and it's not only for a select few. Like, it's not, Jesus isn't only speaking things that make sense to the elite educated. He's speaking it in a way that everyone can understand.
Amen.
Anyone can understand the analogy of being hungry. Everyone's hungry.
That's
everybody. That's right. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody gets hungry. And so that just proves even more just how generous and how inclusive and amazing that God is, because he's not just, the Pharisees wanted him to bring the, like, the religious minded wants it to be an elite few. They want Jesus to bring it to just a little circle. But Jesus is saying, no, I died for everyone. Like, it's an upside down kingdom.
That's right.
Wow. And I mean, you're talking about everyone being hungry or whatever. I'm reminded, as I know a guy in his family that went to the mountains this week. And last night, he texted me a picture of his food.
Mm.
And, you know, I was just thinking about how a lot of times when we go somewhere, the first thing that people ask, where'd you eat at? What'd you have to eat? What was the best?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So naturally, we are showing off our natural food.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we doing spiritually?
Well,
you know what I'm saying. So
let me give you this spiritual example.
I love
run
it.
Off
God, hey, when I said that, I knew something clicked in that mind of yours. Well, today. Here we go.
I just want to expand on what Pastor Chris is saying.
Go for it.
And I do want to say this. I have Facebook, and it seems like what God's doing over at Pastor Chris's church over there, is incredible.
It is,
and
man.
So
it really is.
We need to get him on as a guest one morning.
That sounds great, man.
Come in and chat, talk about what God's doing over there.
Yes,
but it's kind of like this. You know, you sit there at a place and you get a steak and your baked potato and you get, well, see, I don't eat greens, food, salads or anything. It's against my religion. I'm very devout to
Delivering
my religion.
Jesus.
And so I usually get two baked potatoes or baked potato and French fries. I really like my carbs. And so, but you eat all that. All right.
Yeah.
And you're full.
Right.
But then you see this lava chocolate cake on the dessert menu.
So do you always normally get dessert then?
If it's lava chocolate cake, I give it a good shot.
Wow, I hear you.
and so you're full, but yet you're still hungry.
I got you.
You're full from the steak and baked potatoes, but you're like, it's just so good. I got to have the lava chocolate cake too. Now, that could be gluttony, but that's not the way I'm thinking of
no,
it today.
No, don't think about it in a gluttonous way. Think about it in a spiritual.
That's it.
I'm thinking of
Brother Chris got you going this morning, didn't he? I'm telling you.
See, because when you're with Jesus, you get the steak and the lava chocolate cake.
Yeah.
And I love this because every day, I'm not waking up in the morning feeling empty. I'm waking up in the morning saying less of me and more of you.
Yeah, amen.
So I'm not waking up in the morning thinking, gosh, I'm so dry. I don't know what I'm going to do. Just a few more weary days. I'm waking up in the morning saying, yesterday was incredible. What do you got in store for today?
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
Yesterday was magnificent, but you can do all things new today.
That's it.
Amen.
And so it's not like there's a emptiness. Like, because with the law and the Old Testament, there was an emptiness.
There was.
It was kind of like, I could just sense it. Like, you went to the atonement and you was probably charged like, yeah, I'm really good. And then you, by the time the next day of atonement is going on, like, oh my goodness, is it here yet? I got to get my sins covered. Yeah. I got to get my sins covered.
I mean, and they done that, what, once a year?
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I mean, that's just crazy. And I mean, I'm not saying And I'm not saying here, and I don't, I'm not somebody that believes, hey, you sin every day. I'm not. I mean, we don't live in that, okay? I mean, there's people out there, though, that actually, people that I know that thinks that, hey, it
well, I got a sin, so which one am I going to do today?
You know, so I mean, it's just not a mindset that we have to sin, but if it happens, then we take care of it. Yeah. Because, I mean, you can always, you know, this little sin or big sin, whatever it is, but I mean, still yet, you're hungering because of your hunger and thirsting. If you go to do something that isn't right, your hunger and thirsting is going to say, hey, what are you hungering for now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and the more you get filled with this bread of life, the more you eat this lava chocolate cake, the more you feast on the steak and the baked potatoes, the less sin appeals to you.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying that we're, you know, that you'll never have temptation, you'll never have that right. fiery dart. That's not what I'm saying. But as we grow with him and as we taste of him more, we're not going to want to bless him with one voice and in the sixth sentence curse somebody. We're not going to want to come and love on him with all of our fiber and then go hate our brother. Like,
yeah.
it's just, there's contradictory things. The more we get of him, the more we want to be like him.
Yeah.
And the more we're like him, the more we hate sin.
That's right.
And so, and I think that, you know, that it's only a consequence of spending time with Jesus is that sin looks less appealing. So if you see him in all of his beauty, lust and perversion seems less appealing. Because
right.
now you've seen real goodness. You've seen real wholeness. You've seen exactly. real fulfilling.
I can remember a time in my life when I wasn't doing exactly what I knew I should have been doing. You know, I fell away from the Lord. I kept doing things, even though I was still going to church and still doing those things. You know, I was still doing things that wasn't right.
Yeah.
But it seemed like every time that you go to do those things, it's like, man, I know good and well I shouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But you still done it. Why? Because it fed your flesh.
Yeah.
And you was and I was hungering for more about what the flesh was worried about
yeah.
rather than what the Lord was worried about.
But now yeah. that you've grown closer and closer to him, those temptations and those draws, they have much less appeal over you.
Amen.
Yes.
Brother Billy said, my pastor said, the Lord's changing our diet in the church. Ooh. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of God.
Come on.
Amen. So,
it's our desire to be with him, to do his will.
That's right.
Josh Newton says, don't forget that I drink 10 gallons of sweet tea every time I go to eat out, too. So I got to add the sweet tea to the steak, baked potato, and lava chocolate cake.
That's what you do? Is that what he
That's
said?
That's what I do.
That's what you do.
Josh stayed with me enough to know me by this point.
Oh, yeah, I know it. The waitress says bring out the pitchers.
Yeah, I hear you.
We was at the lodge the other day, and Hannah and Jamie and Ethan came out and ate with us. And I just told her, I was like, look, it's going to be a lot better on if you just bring me a pitcher.
Yeah.
And she brought
and
me
she
a pitcher.
Brought it. Well,
she
I'll
brought me. She brought me one, and then she brought me another after I finished off the first one.
You finished look. The first pitcher?
Oh, let's do
hey,
this.
Hey, that
thing.
Can wow. preach right there. Some people might think, oh, what waitress would do that? But if you ask, you'll.
That's
you
right.
Ha- you have not because
come
you
on.
Ask
that's
not.
It.
You
got the favor of the Lord.
Come I know well, this is probably bad, but I know you're talking about drinks or whatever. And normally, I, you know, whether it's tea or Coke or Mountain Dew or whatever, normally, you know, 3 or 4 glasses when I'm eating a meal.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, I tell people, I've used this at church before, you know, talking about your cup being full. If that waitress or waiter keeps my cup full, you know, I mean, that's gonna benefit them. You know what I'm saying? It's going to benefit them by yeah. getting a good tip. I mean, but if you got to wait for them or whatever, and I'm not one to sit there and shake my drink or say, hey, give me, you know, I'm just not that guy. But if they do, then that's, you know, they're going to get rewarded.
Well, all you
got to
do is ask for a picture. Yeah. I learned that.
All right, then.
Which I think that could kind of speak to, like, the more that God pours out on us, the more we want to give back to him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, the more that he pours and overflows us, I think some of the people who still struggle with, like, the religious mindset or like, well, I got to do this and this, or I'm going to have to give up this to be all out for Jesus.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those people have not truly been overflowed.
Wow.
Because I think the moment that you're truly overflowed, I don't know a person who has not wanted, like I might know a few people who have struggled, but like every person I've talked to who has been overflowed by the Holy Spirit and by the Lord, I have not met someone yet who didn't want to give back to him.
That's right.
And Amen. Live for him even more.
Yep.
Because it's just amazing.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Well, if you are thirsty and hungry today, if you are thirsty and hungry, not just for physical, but spiritual, he is the bread of life.
Amen.
He is the bread of life. And let me just say this. We're going to do the question whenever we come back from the break. But if you're out there and you just tuned in by chance,
yeah,
you just scrolling through it, you haven't listened for a while or maybe you're just driving down the interstate at Glasgow Highsville or something like that, and you just happen to scan and hit this dial. Well, I believe that if you're hungry and thirsty, if there feels like there's something missing in your life, that you just you feel like something is just there, not there, that should be there, Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is Amen. The bread of life, and he wants to fill you. All you have to do today is call out. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want to partake of you. Jesus, I want you in my life. Holy Spirit will draw you. Holy Spirit's doing a great work in your life. He brought you here on this dial for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. We don't do this all the time. I just felt led to do it. He is the bread of life. And if you are hungry and thirsty, maybe you've walked with him, and you're just in a maybe you are in a dry place. He'll fill you. He's saying, I'm still here. I'm right here. If you'll eat of me, you won't hunger and thirst. You won't do it no more. And so, and then maybe you're a believer and you've been in this for a long time and you're just like, my heart's overwhelmed. There's more for you. He's the bread that he's the cup that never runs dry. I believe he's the bread. It's always fresh. The bread always there. And whatever you need him today for, Jesus wants to fill his body.
Yeah. Just before we go, it reminds me of this book that I read in college called Jesus is Greater Than Religion. So, you know, like the greater than sign that you do in math, like the little arrow-looking thing?
I feel like I know that book.
I'm trying to remember the name of the guy. I can't remember. but it just made me remember that because Jesus is different. Religion is not Jesus. I just feel like somebody needs to hear that. And I mean, we're going to keep preaching that. Jesus is not religion. He hated religion. He hated just going through the motions and not ever really changing, not ever being satisfied. Jesus is better. Relationship with him, communion with him, constant relationship. It's so much better. Religion will never, ever, ever give you what Jesus can give you. He changes everything.
Mm. All righty, we're going to take a break here. Mariah, give us a little song. Just, what's that? All right, you got a little song already? Give us a little song, and we'll worship a little bit. And we'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. This is the day that the Lord has made. Welcome into the April the 3rd, 2023. Fourth. I'm going to get my day right sooner or later. It's going to happen, Mariah. I know it is.
It's spring break, so we'll let you by.
Thank you. Right. April the 4th, 2023, on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. I do know it's Tuesday because Josh is in the studio with us. And God's moving and doing incredible things. We've heard so many great testimonies. We've heard so many great, really just praise reports coming out from the last few weeks. And, you know, I've heard this several times, and I think it's an incredible thing. A lot of times when you hear share-a-thons on radio stations, and I'm not going to – like, I want to say thank you or humbled by it, but, like, I have a reason for bringing it up this time. When you hear a share-a-thon, like, if you're flipping to the dials and you hear a share-a-thon, a lot of people just turn it on. Like, turn it off. Like, you know, I'm just going to go listen to something else. Like, praise God. I may even give into it, but I'm not going to sit there and listen to it. We had multiple people that listened to pretty much the whole share-a-thon.
Yep.
Like, multiple people, a lot. And I think that's just incredible and humbling because, you know, it's – I think there was a whole lot of really great things from great men and women of God that was brought out. Brother Daryl Robbins did a fantastic job. You know, we got Brother Jeremy Paul came on and got to talk with us. That was awesome. Let's see, some other great men and women of God that just came on. Pastor Jack and Brother Davey Norris and Jacob was on there. And, of course, Hannah and Josh was on there. And
Joey and Megan. And
Mr. Joey and Miss Megan and Miss Mary.
Who was the one that gave her testimony this day?
That was a superstar of Listen, the outside of Jesus.
I know, but, I mean, I'm telling you, it's just awesome to be a part of that because, I mean, I know how powerful it is. Because, I mean, the Lord's powerful no matter what he's done for you, but. I mean, she. I remember that night. Of course, my wife went to the car, and she taped it.
Yeah.
On her phone. So actually, if you find my wife's Facebook and I shared it too, that's actually taped off the radio off of my wife's phone, and she shared it on Facebook. Before she did, we asked Linda, "Can we do this?" Because Linda's got it on Facebook, but she just has like three or four friends, and that's it. She just don't do the thing. So she's like, "Yeah." And she said, if somebody just hears it, and she said, I hope my kids hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome. When one of her kids liked it, She either, I can't remember if she, when I got to church that night, she said, did you see where they liked it? I was like, yeah, I did. So, come I mean, on. You know, she just pretty excited about it. And actually, you know how it is. Well, Brother Aaron, you don't take a whole lot of notes. I understand that. But people that take notes, sometimes they take notes. But then it's, again, it's like you get home and you think, man, I didn't say that part. I didn't say that part. Well, if you seen it in here, her paper was full mm-hmm. of things to say.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, and I didn't even get to this part. I didn't get to that part. And I didn't get to that part. I said, well, you just let the Lord take over.
You would be proud of me, Josh.
So
the other Sunday morning, I preached, and I had about three sentences on a piece of paper.
Man, I am so proud of you, brother.
How about that?
Man, oh, man.
I don't know if I got to any of those sentences, but I had them.
I mean, like I say, I don't know. I mean, but oftentimes when I do, and I take notes, I mean, I don't use them.
Yeah.
But I love, for whatever reason, when I was a kid, of course, we had chapel every day. Not just one day a week, but
preach it. Come on, anyway, now.
But no, what I'm saying
you hear
is,
that?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, we did. We had it every day, every
Amen.
Day.
Amen. I said bring it back.
So what I'm saying is, Brother Ron, when he would teach chapel, he would give us like outlines. Mm-hmm. He'd say point one, two, three, or four, and sometimes then point one, two, we'll have an A, B, or C or something like that.
Yeah.
So I remember being intrigued by writing out the outline and point one. Point two, point, you know, it's just something that yeah. I
so now,
that I feel.
And helped you.
It
like,
kind of did.
Remember.
Yeah, yeah, and to write it down too, even though I may not go back and look at it, but still, yet to write it down, it helped me at that time.
It is proven that writing things down do help you remember.
Well, I write stuff down. Like for me, now if I'm teaching,
yeah,
like if I'm going to
right.
teach, if I'm
yes.
Say if I'm taking a group of six or seven or eight over there to the youth sanctuary and we're going to teach on a specific subject, then I would do stuff like that on a PowerPoint or something like that.
Yeah.
And even like I did a pretty in-depth teaching on spiritual gifts a little while ago, and I had a lot of notes and quotes
yeah.
and all that on the presentation. I just found for myself it's much better for me to when I talk.
Yeah.
I just try to memorize everything, and I have
and
my
that's
key
awesome.
Points. So I have everything in my head before, and
yeah,
and then I just and I well I don't have everything. What I have now, I'm weird, so I don't tell anybody to do like me.
You ain't weird.
Like I mean, because this is probably really bad. I could probably be a lot better if I just prepared better. But like I have my cue points, so I like point one, point two, point three, and then I just roll off of that. And,
yeah,
you know, I just. It's probably a good thing I don't have notes because I'm teaching and preaching for an hour without notes, and so I'd probably teach forever with notes if I had it.
Oh, well, yeah.
You kind of know, hey, do you have anybody that kind of raises their hand or gives you a little nod when they think you're going too long?
Justin.
No, does your wife do that every day on the internet, really? Or do you not look at your wife during the...
You know, I'm going to be very honest. I'm going to be very
That's
honest.
Good. I want you to be very
I
hard.
Don't see a single person in the sanctuary usually. I've been in churches to where people start zipping their Bibles up and they're starting to gather their
yeah.
things. I actually never see that in our sanctuary.
Yep.
Now I could be blind. I mean, I see a lot from up there, but I never see a hint of people like, all right, I'm out, I'm tuned, I'm bored, let's go home.
Yeah.
Like if they do, they're probably sitting like in the very back because I never see it either. Yeah. And I sit yeah. in like the middle.
Yeah.
Well, see, I remember, of course, when I went here for years or whatever, we would always make the joke as a kid. We'd say, you got your first church. It's out there from out from underneath the balcony. And then the other church is back here under the balcony. That's something as kids growing up. That's what we tease everybody.
If my and, husband would let me, I would sit in the front row in the splash zone every Sunday.
But we would always say, move on up a little bit. And they would look up and say, no, I'm all right where I'm at. Because they'd be right there on the verge of going out.
I love it.
So, I mean, you know, just how you relate to different things where whatever church
but I will say at. This I try to be respectful of people's time
right right
and so like Sunday morning I only preach I think because we do have they have a big clock up there and everybody makes sure that now they do make sure that clock's on time. I don't know if that's intentional or not but it's I think I only preach for 21 minutes Sunday morning. Because I actually looked at it when I got up there, and then when I called Heather up the piano, it was like 21
yeah.
minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, that was probably one of your shortest ever.
But it was, but I mean, we went at it. Like
you
it
could have preached chapel that morning.
It was powerful. I mean, the substance was not less than the longer, you know.
Because we just started flying left hooks right off the bat.
Man, that's awesome.
And then, it was just truth. Just
yeah.
And so I don't think it's, I think this is one thing that, because we do have a lot of ministers, preachers, and stuff that that listen.
Yeah,
I do think this is important to say. I don't think the length of this sermon is the thing that makes it powerful.
That's right.
I don't think that always is the case, and I don't think you have to preach. I've preached for 2.5 hours before at a conference. Like I know what it's like. I can do it. But I don't think that 2.5 hour sermon, because it was expected to teach that long at a conference. Like it was just, I was expecting.
Well, when you have a conference or some kind of study thing like that, of course it's going to do that.
Yeah, but I don't think it's any more powerful than the 15, 21-minute sermon I just preached Sunday morning. I think it's the content. I think it's what the Holy Spirit's kissing at that moment. And I think that's where we have to be obedient. Now, I do think that if you put yourself on a time schedule and in 29 minutes you have to be done with your sermon because it fits in, I think then you're isolating the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And you're saying you have this much room to work, but don't work any more than that. So it gives us no permission to go past if the Holy Spirit's still speaking. But I think God can change the – I think God can change a whole atmosphere and preach an incredible message in 21 minutes. So,
You
know, it's just – I don't think the length of the sermon is the powerhouse behind it.
But I do think the after the sermon, like – I don't think that you have to have an altar call every single time and force it if the Holy Spirit's not leading you to do that, you know? Because sometimes the Holy Spirit might not be leading you to do an altar call. But I do think making it known that the altar is open always, you know, and I love how you do that, is like the altar's open.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to continue worshiping if you want to come. Like, just making it known that it's an invitation, because there are people that, you know, maybe they aren't praying any other time. Maybe they're not getting the thing, like responding. Because, I mean, I don't know if everyone else might not be like me, but every time after a sermon on Sundays, like, I feel stirred. It does, like, and I don't know if it's just you, Pastor Aaron, or I don't know. No, I felt like that with other pastors too. It's like, I'm engaged, and if you're truly engaged the whole time, like, you should feel a stirring.
Sure.
That might not be to go pray at the altar, but it might be to go give someone a hug, go speak to somebody. You know, there should always be, I feel like, or it might be taking some notes in your journal, or I just feel like it's important to have a response to the Holy Spirit. Like, if he's stirring you, get up and do you know, whether it's going to hug somebody, go encourage somebody, go pray at the altar, go worship, whatever you feel you have to do to respond back to what the Holy Spirit is responding to you.
Yeah. And it don't have to look the same.
And no, it can look different. Right. It can be just, you know, just praising him in your seat.
Yeah.
You know
what I
mean? Brother Chris, he chimed in again.
Oh, I love
it. He says his congregation says he preaches for 30 minutes, but he closes for 45 more.
I'm with you on that sometimes.
I text back and said, don't a preacher get 5 closings anyway? I mean, come
we
on.
Get to land. We land this plane several times.
Oh, man, it's awesome. I'm thankful that we're all kind of tied in together like that. We as preachers got to stick with one another, right? Hey, we's preaching truth, and we got to stand by one another.
Man. And I do think that. I do think that's something the church could grasp, is that that the end of your sermon don't always have to look the same. Like,
that's right.
Sunday morning, it was a morning like, you know, we talked about don't let the rocks cry out in your place. And, I mean, people were standing, clapping, raising their hands, shouting, saying amen, walking around the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Nobody told them to do any. I mean, like, I don't praise the Lord, but they decided what to do. And at the end of it, you know, I made sure that everybody knew the altar was open, that there's always leaders. Like, you know, I usually will head back, so I leave the leaders up there praying and open the altar, so they're always up there for available for prayer. And I go back and I love on people, and, you know, I'm getting to be a better hugger.
Wow.
By God's grace. And so I love that. Like, I love that time on Sunday afternoons where I just go and get to shake hands and talk to people on their way out. But there's been some Sundays I didn't do that. Like, there were some Sundays I stayed in the altar. So there were some Sundays I just stayed and worshiped myself.
Yeah.
And so I just think there's freedom to not have to look the same every single Sunday morning.
That's good.
Or every single service. And even our prayer meetings on Saturday night.
They're
not
different.
One prayer meetings look the same.
That's awesome.
God's done different things each time.
I think that's really, really crucial as a pastor. And I love how you do that, Aaron. Because I won't mention names, but I've had multiple people, you know, approach me and just tell me, like, I've never felt, and I'm not just trying to give you a big head, but like, this is just, it's good.
Right.
It's good to have.
Well, it's good for you to tell your pastor. People need to tell their pastor every now and then, hey, this is what's going on. Hey,
yes.
I appreciate you.
Exactly.
So that's good.
And
that's
people
good.
Have came to me, and maybe that, I don't know, maybe they don't want to go to you, but I guess I'm just approachable. I don't know. But they've told me, like, you know, I really feel for the first time that I am seen by my pastor. Like, I feel like he notices me, he cares to come talk to me or, you know, ask me how I'm doing. And, you know, like, but it's different when it's just like, oh, how you doing? Or how are you doing in a genuine way? And I feel like when you have that freedom to go, maybe, but sometimes also people came up to me and be like, man, like the prayer that he prayed over me was spot on, you know, prophetic. Yeah. So it's just awesome to see that, like, you do give yourself that flexibility because the Lord might want you to be operating in the prophetic one Sunday and helping someone, or he might want you to just be hugging someone like the Father's embrace, and maybe they just needed a hug and hadn't had someone to hug them, or maybe just literally no one the entire week has asked them how they're doing, mm-hmm. you know, and it just shows that different people have different needs, different days have different needs. And I think you do a really good job at that. And I think all of us could learn from that because sometimes we do get in our head like, oh, it has to look a certain way. I have to, even for me, like, you know, I'm on the worship team. So sometimes like, and poor Heather, she's always has to be on the piano. Like, I feel bad. But I mean, hey, if she wanted to step off the piano, if she felt led, I'd try to take over for her if I could. But I have felt sometimes the Lord be like, go pray. Like, don't go back up. Like, don't go back up to sing again. Like, go pray. Mm-hmm. And I have to listen because I know that I'm not limited to just a worship leader. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we have freedom because the Lord wants us to obey and do what he's leading us to do. And that's, I know, right. Also that I'm called to pray. I'm called to intercession. I'm called to pray with people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I might not do that often, but I do want to open myself up to that. And I just feel like other leaders maybe just, you know, pray about it and open yourself up to that on Sundays to what is the Lord telling me to do mm-hmm. right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We often at a church, here's how I close a lot of times. I say, listen, we're here to pray for you. We're here to pray with you. Mm-hmm. But if you just need to come to this altar and just pray,
that's right.
That's what you need to do. Amen. And I remember even last week at the awakening that over Brother Chris's, Brother Billy was preaching one night and talking about the Lord was working in this one woman in a great way, and Billy could see it. So Billy had her come up or whatever and said, what you're tapping into is intercession.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Said you're interceding for the body of Christ and also for your pastor.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, different during the, maybe while he's preaching or teaching or something like that, Billy was saying, listen, the Lord's wanting you to take you into intercession where he can really use you to pray through you for different needs throughout the body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And see, so, I mean, and I believe that actually there's probably the spirit of intercession on many people right now, but they just don't know what it is.
They don't know. Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people tell me, like, well, God's been doing this, but I don't know what that means. Like, I've never done that before. And it helps to have a leader to just say, hey, like, this is what this
Here's
is.
Here's what's up.
And that's just, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Because that's how it, that's raising people up.
That's right. That's right. Because we all don't, I don't claim to know what, I mean, I don't know much at all, but I mean, you know, but what we do know, we want to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because we've been, some of us may have been in that situation before and think, all right, yeah, I've seen this before. This is what it is.
Yes.
So,
sharing the wisdom.
Amen.
Yep. One listener said, as much as I love the praise team, I always hate to see the praise team come up front when the sermon's coming in. Just don't want to see it close. It's just said, love our praise team. You know, I like our piano player. I like our worship leader.
Yeah.
I like her a lot.
you know, it just says every worship leader or whatever, just like Heather or whoever it is, when the Lord calls them to that, it raises them up in that. And Hannah was talking about how they're like behind the piano. Mm-hmm. But actually, they know that that's what the Lord got them
to
do. So, you know, I mean,
and you can tell Heather worships through playing piano. You can tell.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, that's what the Lord's called her to do.
Sure.
So, I mean, even though that sometimes outside watching, we think, man, they're just behind the piano all the time. But that's, hey, they feel more free probably right there in that one little spot than we do in the entire church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And God knows our personalities, too. I mean, we know Heather. Now, I've never seen Heather go, or, like, she's not super social. She's more of a, you know, inward, you know. I know she's praying.
Yeah.
Oh, I know she's praying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she's not as much of a, like, Aaron popping around to all the different people, you know. But God knows our personality.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, too, to know that, like, God calls us according to, he knows how he created us.
Yeah.
Actually, Brother Aaron, me and my wife Rachel, I mean, it's almost like we're the same too, because here I am loud and outspoken. My wife is quiet and just, you can't hardly hear her. So, anyway.
There's still an empty seat over here with
Rachel. Ooh, yeah.
Hey, she's not feeling very well this week.
I know, we're going to pray for her. And and so I know we haven't got to our first trivia question yet, but I want to say this. You may think, why did you all talk about all this? This is why it's important, is that the Lord has big things and new things for us, and we have to be willing. I actually preached this Sunday morning. I don't mean to say it just because I preach this Sunday morning, but it's true. We have to be willing to find the coat nobody's ridden on before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if he's coming in on this triumphal entry, in that he rode a coat, a donkey that's never been broke, never been rode before. And I think the Lord is having you gonna have you do things you've never done before.
Right.
He's gonna bring you out of the box. And it don't have to look the same every single day. God's calling us to many things, and we just have to be sensitive and an ear to hear what he's leading, what he's instructing. For example, there was a girl I got to talk to a couple of weeks ago at a service, and she's a young girl, and she kind of comes from a position to where women aren't allowed to do anything.
Yeah.
All right. And so there's definitely some misapplication of scripture in there and misinterpretation of it. And so regardless of whatever your views are on complementarianism or egalitarianism or anything like that, it's at the end of the day, there is a whole lot in there that women are doing for the glory of God.
Amen.
And so we're not, you don't suppress them. Like, God's raising up women to be mighty warriors for the kingdom. And we release them. We equip them. We pray for them. We bless them. Right.
Right.
Amen.
And well, this girl's been in a kind of a situation where she hasn't been released. She's, you know, been more oppressed. And God gives her these drawings and gives her these prophetic insights. And so, and you know, there's a people around her that's trying to release. And so I just kind of stood with her and I said, look, this is what God's doing in your life. So I was able to give some context. And I'm like, this is how God's using you. This is what's happening. This is some people I've encountered that had the same gift as you. Don't be afraid to use it. Like, be a little bit different. It's okay. Like, in worship, everybody else may be standing up and lifting your hands. I said, maybe just take a drawing notebook in the back seat and allow the Spirit of God to show you as you worship during songs.
Good.
What he's doing. I said, you need permission to do this.
Amen.
And I don't know, like, I just, honestly, I don't have any authority in your life. Like, I'm not a pastor, I'm not anything. I'm just like, I want to give you permission to do it. I want to say, go for it, do
yeah.
it. If you need more context, if you want more insight, like, you know, just come over and see me in the office. Like, I told her where he's at, and I said, anytime you want to come over and chat about this, because you're just like, I don't know what's going on, we'll walk with you, we'll talk you.
Yeah.
And this is
I'd
important.
I'd be happy to.
I mean, this is important for leaders to do, because we have to release people to do what God's called them to do. And if God's given Josh insight, God's given Josh an anointing, but nobody ever releases that, that's part of the body that's hurting now, because God's given him a job and nobody's given him the permission and affirmation to go do it.
Or yeah. the platform.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of leaders that they want the platform just to stay
just for
who it is
yep.
and not to raise up anybody else. And I love that about what you said, Aaron. Like, we have extra mics, you know, like
yeah.
it's not a certain few, it's who God is calling.
Yeah. If you're an electric guitar player and you want to come, hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
You know, and
acoustic, electric.
You know, and I know that also they're at a church or whatever. That's why we want the people to feel the freedom of the Lord to be able to do the things that the Lord's calling them to
yes.
do.
Yeah.
And I know, like in our congregation or whatever, Brother Billy will open up for people to give a testimony,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, and for people to share maybe what the Lord's doing in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about the service going long or not going long or whatever, but I mean, if people are engaging in the service and people are testifying, people are worshiping, people are doing all these things, that means their mindset is not on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can get a people to do that, to understand that, hey, my testimony ain't like your testimony, but anyway, so.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, we'll continue this conversation in a minute. 8 o'clock break is our hard break. Legally, we have to do it for the our legal ID here. So this is our one hard break that we got to honor. So I guess we'll do the first trivia question, answer that, and we'll do the second trivia question maybe after the break.
There you go.
In the parable, what did the servant whose debt had been forgiven do? In the parable, what did the servant whose debt had been forgiven do? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. We are back here on this April the 4th, 2023.
Man, it took you an hour, but
right.
you got it, brother.
Got
you
it
got
right.
it. Oh, yeah. Glory.
All right. We are having a great time. We have not got a trivia answer yet, so... maybe it's my fault because we supposed to get it off earlier and well I failed in my duties. But
well, go ahead and read it again, brother.
In the parable, what did the servant whose debt had been forgiven do? It's a little tricky one. in the parable.
Yeah,
the
you one, had me looking at you weird there for a minute.
The one, the servant whose debt had been forgiven, what did he do?
Yeah.
And so it's good. It's a good sermon. I'll give you a hint. I don't give hints too often, but it's found in Matthew. That's all I'm going to say. All
right.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
All right. And so, and I do love that the conversation we had prior to the break, and I thought it was rich in the sense of God's doing a new thing. It don't always have to look the same way every single time. And it's like, you know, I think the most important thing is this, is that Sunday mornings we have made about pleasing people to get them to come back next Sunday.
Yeah. Wow.
And that was never the intention of why we assembled.
Yeah.
And so whatever, I think sometimes we do the same thing over and over because it's comfortable and people like comfortable and people don't like to be stretched. For instance, like Sunday morning, we just kind of killed the music and just sing. Now we didn't, I think some people do that on purpose. Like, so some people do that cause it's like, we want that emotion to ride. Actually, we kind of just quiet down, period. And,
yeah.
And you know, it's like, then we go live on the radio, of course. And you're always told no dead air. Well, I'm pretty sure there was dead air Sunday morning. And I was okay with it. Why? Because we were honoring the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't look like we always done on Sunday mornings, but it was.
It's not dead air if the Holy Spirit's yep. filling it.
That's yep. it. That's it. I mean,
there was
Amen.
Definitely dead air Friday afternoon whenever we was all crying.
Hey, Holy Spirit was feeling that too.
Hey, can I say something about that?
I love for you.
All right. Well, here's what happened. I was like, actually, we had a company about that time. Y'all was getting ready to go off or whatever. And so I heard the 40 or whatever. And, mm-hmm. of course, and all that. I was like, man, that's awesome, this and that. Then we began to do other things because it was just a couple minutes before it was going off. And I hated to tell I hated to tell the ones that was with us, hey, y'all be quiet a minute. I'm trying to listen. But so I didn't. So my mom texted me or we called each other. She said, man, that was awesome. When I said, yeah, 40. She goes, she hollered real loud. She goes, 40? She said, you mean 50? I said, do what? So I got another exuberant excitement at that time. And it was like 30
That's
minutes
awesome.
After. So, I mean, it was just, you know what I mean? That's something we'll always talk about. But, man, now that that's done, now what? Now do the mission.
Yes.
And that's
yeah.
what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do.
You that's know, right.
So I love that you said that. I had a same conversation with one of my sisters that day.
Oh,
she
yeah?
was like, oh, 40. Oh, the Lord's so good. And I was like, 40? He's even more good.
That's awesome.
I said, you missed it. She's yeah. like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. It. So I was yeah. just.
But it's and the thing is, it's not the number that you know, touched so many people. It's the spirit behind.
Yeah.
It's the spirit of giving, the generosity, the heart, the faith. And that's
yeah.
what.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Actually, we still, I mean, it was humbling. Like, that's
right.
That's the word I keep coming to my
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's
humbling.
Just it. Yeah.
But we've actually still had more gifts come in since
yeah.
then. So we're actually
right.
higher than $50,000.
Yeah. Well, when you see people pouring into something, I mean, and doing it, there's people that want to be a part
yeah.
of it. So.
But it's, and I think it's a testament of the theme that we're united for the battle. We're coming together.
That's right.
And it's, to me, the big gifts and the small gifts, they're both significant
yeah.
because it's the heart of generosity. It's the heart of giving. It's the heart of sacrifice. It's the heart of giving till it hurts sometimes. And I think that God's going to bless. And we've been praying. I've been praying for the people who's given. I'm praying God blesses
Amen.
You. I'm praying God gives you 100-fold. What it pressed
yeah.
down, shaking together, running over into the saucer, Brother Josh.
That's right.
I truly believe that the faith behind the Share-a-thon, it touched so many people. It touched
yeah.
even children. I had a little girl actually this weekend say, you know, she was listening and she found out that we made it to our 50 and she said, I'm praying for your old
wow.
radio, or she said, I'm believing for your old radio station that you'll get to 60,000.
I love it.
And, but just to see, like, you know, I think she might have said wish. She had a little dandelion and she was blowing it saying,
yeah.
I wish, but I knew what she meant.
The heartbeat behind it
was she wanted it to get to that because, you know, she knew it was something great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so even when, you know, kids don't have the words to say, you know, they're listening. Their faith is growing.
Yeah.
And it's
oh,
just awesome to see.
My kids were texting me. Whenever the end of it, when I was crying, I didn't realize they were texting me until pretty much afterwards.
Yeah.
But my kids were texting me about the share. They were listening.
Wow.
And they were talking. And so it was really cool. I mean, it was awesome.
That's awesome.
Miss Lisa Ashbaugh got that answer right.
Amen.
The answer was choke someone who owed him money. So he got forgiven. Then he went and choked somebody
wow.
who owed him money. Matthew 18:28.
Wow.
Now here's a new one. Mariah is she goes, these are hard names. So hopefully we can get just give it your best shot. All right, this is trivia number question two, sponsored by Bluegrass Lumber. The first one was sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Let's see here. Well, come on now. My phone messed up. What are the four rivers listed as flowing out of Eden? What are the four rivers listed as flowing out of Eden? 270-257-2689. All righty, we are progressing forward in this chat. Brother Josh, this is Tuesday. Oh, yes, 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 please. Please do.
Hey, there's just a couple things that I actually got a brother within the church that's having some surgery this morning. Then actually I just got a text from my daughter to say pray for her. And I know my wife's not feeling good as well. And there's actually a few people, you know, this ain't just for these few, but I'm binding together for the body of Christ. Amen. Also, if you're listening and you have somebody in mind right now that you'd like for us to pray for, just bind together with us as we pray.
Start to speak their name. Amen.
Just speak their name. So we're going to go ahead and pray right now and just over the needs and the remainder of this broadcast. Mm-hmm. So let's just pray. Lord, we just come before you right now. We just thank you, Lord, for another day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come in here from 7 to 9 o'clock every weekday morning. Lord, I thank you for the heart. I thank you for all those that listen. Lord, and that's why I'm speaking this over the airways right now and praying. Because I know, Lord Jesus, that we have people that is binding together with us right now in faith, believing, yes, Lord God, Jesus, that for their needs and also the needs that was just spoken, Lord. We have a brother, Brother Richard, in our church is going through some surgery this morning, going to start around 10 o'clock. We pray it now for him. We pray it now, Lord Jesus, that you would just ease his mind right now, the worry or whatever it is, Lord Jesus. And also just got a text from my daughter, say, remember her, she's not feeling well. I pray it now for Maddie. I just pray right now, Lord G, for our life, and also Lord G for Rachel as well. Yes, and Lord, for many others, Lord God, we pray right now, Lord G, for your healing hand. Even right now, as we pray, Lord God, that they're feeling your presence, yes, Lord G, to take out the affliction, to take out all these things, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for the listeners. We thank you, Lord God, for faith that's rising up, Lord God, in a people that's willing to even do what you say do or go where you say go. And I pray right now, Lord God, for each and everyone throughout the remaining of this day, Lord, as we're just getting started. Be with us on the road or whatever we may get into today. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well,
don't you love serving a God that you can pray like whatever we get into today, God? Because he's instructing our steps. He's guiding our steps. He's directing it. And it's, you know, the Lord will lead you in some of the most unorthodox places or unordinary or a common things. Like sometimes, have you ever been driving down the road and the Lord just kind of say, hey, I want you to go this way today?
Yeah.
And it was for a reason.
Can I share something?
Yeah, I'd love for you to.
I know many people that probably has heard me in the last couple of years have heard this, but maybe a listener that's listening right now maybe not have heard it.
Uh-huh.
You talk about going a different way. There's somebody that the Lord put in my heart that I went to school with here at Bethel, and I felt as if I need to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what to say exactly. I know what they need to be doing. You know, not there wasn't necessarily doing the right thing. So I knew what they need to be doing, but I wanted to say it in a way because I loved them, and I didn't want that relationship to be broken.
Yeah.
So I thought, Lord, you just work it out. You want me to talk to them, I'll talk to them. So I remember one day I had a load of junk on the back of my truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, you have it junk loaded up and you're going to take it to the landfill in Litchfield. And I remember me thinking, well, I'm going to go there first. I don't want to go around town with all this junk in the back of my truck. People are like, oh, who's that dude? You know, you see, yeah, y'all look at people weird too then when that happens, right? But I remember saying, all right, I'm going to the landfill first, okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, for whatever reason, I pull in Walmart first. I had four or five stops to do, so I could either go to the landfill, make the loop, come back to Walmart last, then go home. Or if I went to Walmart first, that means more or less the landfill was going to be my last stop.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I pull in Walmart. And I remember pulling in Walmart, brother, and thinking, what did you pull in here for? Man, here you are, got this junk, so I parked in the back of the parking lot or whatever, and said, all right, I'm going in. So I'll go in, do my. When I go to walk in, the guy that I was supposed to talk to.
Right there.
Right there. So, I mean, and I thought, man, that's why I went this way.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to him there. He said, come on out. Let's walk out with me. Because he was coming. He was checking out. And I was like, wow, he's right there. He was like, yeah, he's right there. I swear I got you. And so anyway, so we talked there. And he said, all right, come on out. He said, I got ice cream. And he had all this stuff. He said, so we walked out with him. I probably talked to him for 30 minutes. And yeah, I hear you. But anyway, so
later.
That's right. That's right. He probably got home and thought, man, why is this ice cream so melted? Like, well, anyway, so I remember talking about it, the Lord, and I said, man, you know where you need to be. You know, he said, continue to pray for me. I said, you know I am. He said, yep, I know you are. So, I mean, just the things, the conversation that happened, and he's talking about why'd you go that way, that's why you went that way. God's perfect timing. He lined it up. And you think, man, how in the world, you know, some people, they, well, coincidence, this happened, coincidence, that happened. No, I know that it's, you know, if anybody knows me, probably knows that I would love to have got that stuff off my truck right off the bat. But for whatever reason, I went that way, and that's why. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
But. I was laughing because I'm usually the guy with, look, Ben Johnson, when I pick up my little boy Cloud, they never know what's going to be in the back of my truck.
I hear you. I hear you.
He says, I always wonder what's in the back of your truck. I said, I wonder what's in the back of my truck.
Yeah, because that's, you know, that's just on my job sites now or whatever. I always put junk in the back of my truck. After that job, then I go to the landfill and dump.
Yep.
So that's just what I do.
I love that. Earlier when we were about to say that, I thought about the lyrics in that song, Too Good to Not Believe. Mm-hmm. And it says, there is beauty in what I can't understand.
Wow.
Because sometimes when God's leading us somewhere, we don't know why. It's like an unknown. Yeah. And we're just walking into it. And sometimes, you know, I've been talking a lot lately with some people about how sometimes peace comes before understanding. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have peace that, like, all right, Lord, I'm following where you're leading me. And then it doesn't make sense until after we take that step of faith.
Yeah.
And that's just beautiful. That's awesome.
Well, and I think, too, Pastor Josh over here says Pastor Billy's been preaching this a lot lately. And I think this has been on a lot of our hearts is dying to self. And you think, well, how is this going to tie up everything, Aaron? It's because when we start to die to ourselves, and as Pastor Billy said earlier, like the meat that I want to eat of is the will of the Father. And when we learn to die to ourselves, we start to understand that our schedules is not our God.
Yeah.
Our job is not our God. Our checkbook's not our God. He's our God. Yahweh is our God. Jesus is our Messiah. He's my Savior. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's my guide. He's my protector. He's my lamp. He's my everything. And what happens when we learn to die to ourselves is we start to realize, well, I don't, okay, well, my flesh says I want to do this first, but I really feel drawn here. So it's not so much about what I want, it's about what he wants. And if I'm hearing the Holy Spirit, I need to follow him. And we've got to get to this point to where his voice is bigger deal than our own voice.
Yeah.
And,
or any other voice.
His desire, yes. His desire is bigger than our desires. Like, at this point, I want to see his will be done. I want to die to Aaron, and I want to live for Christ. I want to die to Aaron's this and Aaron's that. Josh, I want to die to Josh. I want to die to Hannah. I want to die to all of us and say it's bigger than what we want. It's bigger than what we desire. It's all about him.
Yes.
And, on Sunday mornings, I pray this a lot. Lord, we're not here for our agenda.
That's right.
We're here for your agenda. And if your agenda is this, we say yes and amen.
Yep.
And if there's a people that's willing to say yes and amen to whatever he asks and whatever he leads, then we start to have a people that's finally pliable, flexible, and a vessel of honor that can be used for his glory. And I believe that's when the earth will be shaken, is whenever his people actually surrender.
Right.
That's a big word we don't hear in the church anymore, surrender.
Wow.
Remember that? Like back in the 90s and stuff, that was big.
That surrender all song.
I surrender all.
Oh, I love the word surrender. Get to,
don't write me fossil latte, no. All right. And so, but it's like, I surrender all.
I surrender all.
We listened Sunday night at prayer meeting. There was like a smash up I played. And one of the end songs of that is We Bow Down. You remember that song? We throw our crowns at the feet
of Jesus.
Yes. She can do it well. You don't want to hear me and Josh do it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Josh, if we sing that, everybody's turned off.
Amen. Is that the also We Cry Holy?
Yeah, We Cry Holy. Holy. Yeah.
Yep.
And, man, that's awesome.
That's us saying, I lay myself at your feet.
That's right.
And I don't want anything other than you.
Yes, amen, amen. And to be at that moment, I mean, you always remember those times, and you'll remember the times where not only you do it, where others do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there's, you know, I know probably there's more people now than there's ever been before. But think about it is, that means there better be more people seeking the Lord like never before.
Yeah.
And so I believe he's preparing it people. He's preparing it people.
Yes, without a hesitation.
Amen. Amen.
And it's not always fun to die to self. It's not always pleasant, but it's always profitable.
There you go. Amen.
And it's
I knew that was coming.
That's right. You've heard that a couple of times, right?
And it is. Like it's yeah. It's at that point to where it is you'll never be upset that you did it at the end of the day.
That's right.
Because it's just it releases you. And honestly, a lot of the things that Aaron wants is different than sometimes what the Lord wants.
Yeah.
And I think what the Lord does is whenever he says he gives us the desires of our heart is he's merging us together and he's making us one. So the more I'm willing to move out of the way, the more he has permission and also the ability within my own life to merge his desires and with my desire and make them one instead of make them opposite. Yeah.
Well, you're turning your shouldas and couldas into did it.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? That's what people are doing.
Your Josh is so good with these words. Into did it. Like he does, like Sunday morning.
Like
Sunday
the, night. What's it, like acronyms? Yeah, like phrases that
phrases,
you
can like
yeah.
he just,
remember.
It's like Sunday night he said. What,
slogans.
What was your thing Sunday night?
About the
about sermon you preached.
Oh, in John?
You did three words.
Three words, believe it.
Believe it. Have it.
And do it.
And do it.
Did it.
Be it.
Yeah, be it. I'm sorry, be
was
it.
Was it, so it was believe it?
Yeah. Well, I actually would have said, and I pulled my notes out.
Okay.
Right. Disciples also have it, believed it, be it.
That's it right there.
Okay.
They have it, they believe it, and they did.
But us, actually, I said we believe it, we have it, then we be it.
Yes.
Because see, what I counted that to, Hannah, was like when the disciples were with him, they had him right there.
Yeah.
So they had it. They got to believe it, and they got to be it.
Mm-hmm.
Us, we don't have him right here with us, even though he's in our heart. So actually, what do we have to do first? We had to believe it.
Yeah.
Then we have it. Then we're going to be it. So,
amen. Anyway. That is helpful. Hey, it probably comes from those notes you used to take.
Yeah, true. That's kind of what I do.
Where it came from.
So I mean, you know, and just like, so that's what I believe that we need to be doing. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we do have an answer for this trivia question. Miss Lisa Ashball said, "I'm just going to get them both this morning."
You're going to read off the hard,
yeah,
hard words.
Nope.
Mariah sent them to me.
What do you mean,
too?
No? Mariah, you come on in here. You can stay on board.
Well, my phone keeps messing up every time I do this. All right. Here we go. All right.
I got two of them right in my head.
All right. So what are the four rivers listed flowing out of Egypt? I mean, Eden is Tigris, Euphrates, Gihon. I don't know if it's – there was a weird pronunciation of that word. I like Hannah's pronunciation, but I can't remember exactly how you pronounce that and then Pishon. And so, but Gihon. G.I. Joe.
Ain't no bad.
Oh, my goodness. I love it.
Mariah was worried to death about her being able to say them or hear them, and she's thinking, Lord, I could do better than that.
She's like raising her eyebrows.
Oh, man.
One of these days, Mariah's faces.
One of these days, I'm going to take a class on pronouncing Hebrew names. I don't know if you can take it anywhere.
Well, if you do, just let me know how it goes, right?
I'll let you know. At Campbellsville, through Campbellsville online.
Well, there you go.
I need it. All right. I still stand by this. Miss Lisa says she spelled them right. but you know, it's I'm firm on this. I think one day we're gonna get to heaven.
Yeah.
And they're going to look at us and go, you all didn't say anything right. We're probably not even saying David right.
You Gentiles. You yeah. Gentiles.
Oh, man.
No, they probably don't expect anything.
I hear you.
No, all right. But earlier, I was going to say this real quick, what we were talking about with surrendering and, you know, being the vessel. I just thought about how sometimes what prevents people from doing that is thinking about everything we lose when we die to self. Like thinking about the loss, but the Lord just reminds me that it's all about the gain. It's all about what we're gaining. It's not about what we're losing, because we're gaining way more than we're ever losing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Because it's not about what we're losing. It's about what we're gaining. We're not really losing anything. What's happening is it's stripping off things that's not supposed to be there anyways.
It's it.
Yeah.
And God has a calling. God has a destiny for every single one of us out here. And he has a purpose. And our reason for living is to tap into that purpose.
Yeah.
And if there was no purpose, if there was no reason for us to be here, then after we're born again, we might as well just go on to heaven.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's just go.
And we weren't created with that sin. We weren't created. We were not initially created with fear, anxiety, sin, bitterness, all these things, or even the idols that, like, those weren't. We weren't created with that lust for those idols. We were created to in the image of our Creator. And so those things that have all like have always been there, those things that are human nature, it was never supposed to be there anyway. So it's just being stripped away.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, we got both trivia answers done. We're getting ready to take a break. I know Brother Jeff Arrington's going to be on with us teaching a little bit this morning. And we are praying for all those requests.
Yes. Real quick. Actually, Rachel, we listen to the Bible on the YouTube every now and then. She actually says, son of Nun. On there and everywhere else is pronounced actually son of Noon.
Noon?
So she's got laughing emojis and stuff. So
anyway. I actually heard that before.
Noon.
So see, like, here's a tricky thing. Like, some people, now, in college, I did learn how to pronounce some names. And I didn't last in college, so don't think I'm, like, some kind of master of theology. Like, I lasted 1 year, and I took two Bible classes, and honestly, then I just came home and said, well, I'm just going to study myself. Nothing against the whole Bible experience. Like I'm for it. But mine was just some situations that happened, and I just came home and just fell in love with studying and just kept studying.
Yeah.
But there's some words that I learned to pronounce in Bible college that I pronounce that way, and everybody is persistent on pronouncing them wrong. And I'm like, no, this is like
this is it.
This is it. Like, this is how you really do pronounce this. And they go, no, it's not. This is how. And it's like, look, it looks like that, but I promise you, it's pronounced like this. And I mean, this is from like scholars that I was learning this from, and they told me.
Yeah.
And they say, well, they're wrong. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, it's just, it's kind of like this. When I say, I have studied in Greek a little bit on my own, but at the end of the day, I don't, like, this Greek is kind of like a redneckish Greek, so it doesn't sound like real Greek. So it's like me saying you're wrong to an actual person who knows how to speak
Greek. Who knows how? No, I will say this, though, Aaron. I've actually had this conversation with Jamie before. So, you know, I've had the full college experience, being there the full year, really 3.5, because I got some done early. But I did a minor in a ministry. So I took Bible classes to make up a minor, not my whole major.
Uh-huh.
And so I loved it. But even, like, I wish that I would have taken more advantage and poured myself into even going beyond in that. And I think sometimes when people are maybe forced to go into college, like their parents are making them go, or maybe they're not going, you know, maybe they're not fully in the right, like totally focused, completely focused while they're in it. Sometimes you can learn more studying on your own than when you're actually in the class. Yeah. It all depends on your mindset.
Yeah.
So anyone who hasn't had the chance to go, you know, take Bible classes, but you're like, I want to learn, you can. Yeah. And I mean, I can tell you, Pastor Aaron's an example, because I mean, I can tell, you can tell by what you speak and what you know if you've studied.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, if I could find the time, I would do online Bible classes right now. I keep looking for the time just to stretch me and grow me.
Yeah, stretch you even more. But it's all about that mindset, because even if you go to college, even if you do the classes, if your mindset's not in it, then what's the point? You know, it's all about that mindset, that hunger to want to learn the word.
And then there's been tremendous men and women of God that just sit in a room with their Bibles, and the Holy Spirit's their greatest teacher.
Just reveals everything to them.
Hallelujah.
Yep. Amen.
Brother Greg Carwile said, some says taters, some say potatoes. He's saying that because I always call them tater cakes.
Potato.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Give us a break. Just one little. We don't even do a quick song. Just give us something to catch our breath, and then we're going to come back here with Brother Jeff Arrington and give him plenty of time to teach. So we're just going to go for about a 30-second break or so. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio here on the Box 2 Radio Network. We're getting ready to introduce and get on the phone with us, Brother Jeff Arrington. I'm excited for you to come on and give us some kingdom principles and kingdom teaching. Are we going to be in the same series that we've been in?
Sort of, you know, because it's been an exciting couple of weeks for me, and we had a chance to go to Branson and see the Sight and Sound Theater where Esther was playing, and that was awesome, and got a chance to see the Jesus Revolution. That was awesome. So,
yeah.
You know, God is speaking to our generation. So that's why I want to hone in on is that grace that's on us by God to hear His voice.
Amen.
Yes. And it's a day of visitation, and that's what I want to discuss, lest we miss it. Like the Jews of old out of Luke chapter 19, 2,000 years ago, you know, there's a visitation hit the earth called Jesus Christ. And that visitation is still going on today.
Yes, sir.
But we must recognize the hour of our visitation.
Amen.
And we're in a time of visitation from the Lord, if we can just tune in to His voice and what He's saying, what He's doing in our present world, our present time. And if you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 19.
Yes,
Father,
sir.
We just thank You for Your word today.
Yeah. Amen,
Amen,
brother.
Not live by bread alone, but by every word.
Yeah. That's it.
Proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Just want to say, Brother Jeff, good to hear from you this morning, man. I know it's been a couple of times since we did, so it's good to get back into the Word, God, that You got for us today, brother.
Well, it's good to be with you, brothers, man, and sisters. And
yeah, we got a new co-host with us. Her name is Hannah, so she's going to be with us from this point on.
One big family, you know, that's what God introduced to us, you know, in the New Testament. He really, really magnified the family. And it revealed the Father and the Son, which was kind of shadowed in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, He really brought light to it, that this is My Son in whom I'm well pleased.
Amen.
So we got to understand the concept that God is a Father.
Yeah.
And He's always wanted a family. And we just got to, you know, have that paradigm shift in our minds from just ministry to family that minister. See, it's a total shift of thinking. We are the family of God that serve, that minister to others by first order.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a big ministry team. We're a family that serves.
Right.
Yeah. Comes from our Father. He's the greatest servant of us all. So,
yes.
Amen.
Luke 19, now you see this passage where Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And we can pick it up here, Luke 19, it's a lot here. So verse 19 says, and when He was come nigh, even now at the descent of the mountain of Olives, the whole multitude, the disciples, began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now you got to understand something. They couldn't help themselves from what they seen, what they heard, what they knew. They began to speak and to shout. And the religious people, it says in verse 39, some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke your disciples. In other words, tell them to be quiet.
Yeah.
But listen to the Lord's response. And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these shall hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out.
Come on.
In other words, Christ says, look, I cannot deny myself. And if they are bearing witness to who I am, hallelujah, they cannot but give me praise due my name. If they stop, He said, the rocks would cry out.
That's it.
They would bring confirmation. They would bring the witness to the truth that I am the one. And when He was come now, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, there has known even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belongeth unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that the enemies, and listen to this, is the enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and pass thee round about, and keep thee in on every side. And listen to this. It says, and thou shalt lay thee even with the ground, and the children with thee, and they shall not leave one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation.
Mm-hmm.
Now we as Christians, as saints, as sons and daughters of God, we have to understand the time of our visitation, lest the enemy get the advantage over us.
Come on.
We're in a time of visitation from the Lord, and He's come, and what did He bring us? What was the result? What was the Jesus effect, I call it? Well, He brought grace, hallelujah, and truth. That grace and truth has a dominion to rule. So we'll get back on what we've been talking about, grace, seeing grace from a kingdom perspective.
Yeah.
Now, Paul said, we're not under sin anymore. They shall have not dominion over us, But we're under grace. See, we're under the dominion of grace. And that's part of his visitation. And that's where I believe if we hold our peace at this time, see, the enemy will get the upper ground, the high ground. He will take over. But if the saints will begin to open our mouth in the midst of all what's going on and praise God, give him glory, do his name, we're going to see the enemy push back.
That's right.
At this time. Because we're still in the time of visitation.
Come on.
In other words, where sin abounds, grace more abounds.
Yeah.
See, God's effect upon our lives far reaches the depths of the glory of God more than Satan's effect of sin, see? And we got to understand that this is our day of visitation. What happened 2,000 years ago when a man hung on that cross and he said, "It is finished"? My God, we inherited, if you would, not a religion, but the life of God that supersedes even death. Death couldn't even hold him for 3 days. Then he got up, see? And we got to understand, when we open our mouth and praise God, that creates a habitation or atmosphere that the enemy cannot dwell in.
Amen.
That's right.
He cannot dwell in an atmosphere where the saints are praising God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the scriptures do declare that he inhabits the praises of his people.
Yeah.
He inhabits the praises Amen. Of his people. Now, if y'all have something, you can chime in. I don't want to take up all the time. But this is the day of visitation. And the mistake they made, some of them did in the old days, they didn't know the day of their visitation. The scripture says that in John 1, he came into his own, and his own did not recognize him. They did not comprehend him. And we're in a day where God is saying, look, come to know, get to know me.
Yeah.
Get to know me. Yeah. Come to me. Now, that's an old scripture in Job I want to share with you out of Job chapter 10. And it's Job chapter 10, I believe it's verse 12. Job 10, verse 12. And it reads, it says, "Thou hast granted me life and faith, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit." Now, God has come, he sent his son. Now, notice it says that God so loved the world, he sent a son. That's what he said. That's his weapon of choice, a son. By first order. See, this is relational. And he didn't send a bishop. He didn't send an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He sent a son who are all those things. Mm-hmm. But the key is to identify our origin, where we come from. And if you're born again, then you came from God.
Amen.
And God has come to preserve his own people. See, that word preserve is to inspect, to find out what's going on, to make a difference. So Christ has come to preserve him, our remnant, our people that believe on his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that word granted favor, see, thou hast granted me life, is the same word, if you would, favor, which comes from grace. God's grace, God has favored us. God has come to release us from the sentence of death, glory to God. He came to reconcile us back to our original purpose and who we are. So all of this comes from God's visitation 2,000 years ago. And as a people, we must hone in on this. And once we do recognize it, see, we can't hold our peace.
Yes.
Can't hold our peace. Now, this is what happened with Esther. You know, I was very impacted by that play. Esther, they did a wonderful job reenacting that chapter and that time in the history of mankind when Satan was trying to destroy a whole race of people. God had a plan.
Yeah.
And that's the church. Here we are. Esther's type and shadow of the church. So let's look at it and link it to what we're talking about today in Esther 4:14. Y'all know this famous scripture. Everybody knows Esther 4:14.
Come on.
Right. Let's look at it in this light, though, as far as what God is saying to us. This is Mordecai, of course, representing the Holy Spirit in her life, Mordecai, in verse 14. "For if thou altogether," listen to this, "hold thy peace at this time." What time is it? It's a day of visitation. We cannot hold our peace. We must declare him king. We must declare his lordship, his kingship. in our generation. And the more we decree and declare his kingship, see, the weaker the enemy becomes in our generation. So what does Satan want to do? He wants to be quiet at this time.
Come on now.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, it's not a time to be quiet. It's a time to shout.
That's right. Glory.
With the voice of triumph. It's time to shout with the voice of triumph. If Christ has delivered you, it's time to share your testimony. Mm-hmm. We have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking, see, this is to the family. I'm not talking about select men. I'm talking about the family of God.
That's it.
I'm talking about a kingdom of priests. I'm talking about every man, every woman that's been touched by Jesus Christ. You cannot hold your peace at this time.
Amen.
God is looking for you, hallelujah, to bring the witness. He said, you shall be my witnesses. What is a witness? Someone who has evidence, right?
That's it.
If I'm going to be a witness for somebody, that means I have evidence.
Yeah.
And Jesus said in the book of Acts chapter 1, you shall be my witnesses. In other words, I'm going to give you evidence, hallelujah, of my resurrection. Evidence that I'm alive. Not just talk, but evidence, glory to God. So we take our lives that Christ has touched, and we begin to shout, we begin to decree and declare his lordship, his kingship, see. It sets an atmosphere.
Come on.
It sets an atmosphere. And if we look at the enemy, if you look at, say for instance, if you look at the Muslims and their religion, they have set an ordinance where they decree 5 times a day, they get on their knees and they decree. And you know what they're decreeing? They're decreeing that Allah is the true God. Yeah. That's what they're saying. Allah is the true God and Muhammad is prophet. 5 times a day.
Wow.
What does that do? That sets an atmosphere for demons.
Come on.
We gotta understand. That's why he's taking over. That's why he's taking over the Middle East, taking over countries, because they decree and declare 5 times a day, and we can't get the saints to pray 3 minutes.
Come on now, that's it. Wow.
Glory.
If we were beginning to decree and declare his lordship, see, in America again, if we don't hold our peace at this time, we'll set an atmosphere and drive him out of our land.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We'll set an atmosphere for Christ to dwell in. It's called visitation for habitation.
That's good.
Amen.
When we begin to praise God, it sets an atmosphere. Mm. When we begin to decree his lordship, his kingship, see, angels descend upon
them.
The Holy Ghost descends. Any time where Jesus is magnified and glorified, the Holy Ghost comes with power to validate that truth.
Mm-hmm.
See? We cannot hold our peace at this time. That's what he was telling Esther. If you hold your peace, God will look for another.
That's it.
He'll look for someone else.
Come on.
He'll look for somebody else.
Amen.
And this is where we are as the body of Christ. We have come into the kingdom for what? For such a time as this.
Amen.
Right? God has raised us up for such a time as this. Not to hide in our little sealed houses and our little sealed denominational thinking. No, no, no. God is looking for the corporate man, the corporate family. Those that will reach beyond the walls. Those
Amen.
That will reach out to their brothers and lock shields, if you will. That will lock shields of faith. And have the, Paul said, hallelujah, have the same faith. One faith, one baptism, one Father of us all. See,
yeah.
We can come into that type of unity, then we become unstoppable.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Brother Jeff, if you don't mind me asking, brother, there where you're at,
sir.
Man, are you, do you have a people that it seems like they're getting more hungry, a new stirring, or an awakening that's happening within the church?
Yes. We're so hungry to see his kingdom manifest. We're believing God for a double portion. We saw this Jesus revolution, and we're prophesying that it'll happen again.
Amen.
But on a double portion.
That's right.
That I know revolution, their hearts would turn to Christ and our generation like never before.
Yeah.
Amen.
I know up here where we're at, Brother Jeff, they have, you know, there's a people getting stirred and more or less calling it an awakening. You know, so many people, you know, we dwell on having a revival service during the spring, revival service during the fall or something like that, and that's all great and all, but if we're not awakened every day, then it's almost like, what are we doing?
time of visitation. And this is called now, in our day, the book of Acts, it's called great grace upon us all. See,
come on.
Visitation. Notice he says great grace upon them all. Not a select few.
Yeah.
This grace is available for every Christian.
There's nobody out. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Great grace was upon them all. And they were able to stir up a city in Jerusalem. If you read the story, signs and wonders, mighty signs and wonders was wrought by that holy child, Jesus. And God says that same Jesus that Paul cast out devils is the same Jesus we can cast out devils. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Come on.
See, we're talking about a corporate. You're talking about a corporate move. You're talking about a kingdom of free, not superstar individuals anymore. God has come to raise his house, his body, see? His body. We are the body of Christ.
Amen.
And the same anointing, Christo, that same anointing that was on the children of old in the book of Acts, the same anointing upon us.
Amen.
That's the visitation, see? But we got to recognize the day of our visitation.
Amen.
And that revolution is a turn, if you would, toward Christ. That's all it is. You got to turn toward Christ before you can have any type of revival. It has to be a revolution. It has to be a turn.
Yeah.
Hearts have to turn. We have to turn our hearts to the Lord.
Right.
And then the veil is rent, right?
Amen.
So, we're believing God to turn hearts all over America, all over the world to Jesus Christ. And we'll see that the veil, the blindness, will be removed off our eyes. And that we will see Christ as he really is.
Amen.
But at this time, we cannot hold our peace.
Mm-mm.
That's right.
I must share. I must talk of the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
I must speak. I must say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot hold our peace at this time.
Oh. Amen.
As we walk in the marketplace, as we walk, as God order our steps, we got to speak up. Yeah. We got to create that atmosphere for him to dwell in. Amen?
Amen.
Visitation for habitation. Habitation for visitation. He wants to dwell with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
That's
it
right.
All starts with Christ Jesus, our Lord. So if we can understand anything today, it's all about if God has visited you, has changed you, has delivered you from addictions, all share your testimony.
Amen.
Speak of it.
That's it, brother.
Hallelujah. God.
I often tell them when I speak at church, I often say, listen, you need to share your testimony, not only in here with each other, but you need to share it out there. Because, you know, we've all dealt with different things, and we've all, you know, can touch, allow the Lord to touch somebody through your testimony. And
amen.
People need to hear it.
That's it. Well, I want to close the day out of Psalms 102, familiar scripture. Yeah, we're going to prosper through prophesying, man. We got to prophesy.
Amen.
His kingship, his lordship. He said in the last days, right?
Mm-hmm.
He will pour out his spirit.
Come on.
Upon all. Flesh, right? He didn't say the select group of high-powered gifts and anointing. He said all flesh. And our sons and our daughters will speak by divine inspiration. That's to every man that believes in Jesus Christ. Every woman that believes in Jesus Christ. But here we see in Psalms 102, it says, verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy. Now that is his visitation upon
mm-hmm.
Mount Zion.
Yep.
For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come.
Mm-hmm.
Now God was waiting for the set time 2,000 years ago. The set time came, and he came with favor. He came with grace. He came to build. Upon this rock, I will build. Amen. Build. He's here today in our generation to build. It says right here in 15, verse 15. And verse all these verses deal with the church. The set time to favor her, set time to build her up. And, you know, grace comes for one reason, and that's to usher us into the glory of God.
Amen.
You know. That's why the grace came.
Come on.
It didn't come just to favor us, just to be favoring us. That favor is like Esther before the king. When
That's
he stretched out the scepter to her, he said, look, come on in. come on into my presence. Come on and dwell with me. That's what the scepter was for. And Christ is that scepter. And the scepter is being extended. It means favor. That means the door is open. That means the veil is rent. That means you can come on in and fellowship with God on a level that we didn't have before, the cross. Yeah. We cannot hold our peace at this time. So if you hear me today, and you're a saint, you receive Jesus Christ, you have his testimony. And the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. He's coming again. And this time he's coming as a king and not as a lamb.
Come on.
He fulfilled the lamb call. Now he's coming as a king, and we must prepare ourselves, amen?
Yeah.
We must prepare a habitation for his visitation. So prophetically today, I just wanted to share that with the body of Christ, to build us up, understand that your testimony is powerful. You are powerful who you are. You're one of the mighty men of David, hallelujah. We all are. By first order, we are part of the family. And if you're in the family of God, then you're a mighty woman, you're a mighty man.
Amen.
Whatever your gift may be, that's fine. But God sees us all the same.
Amen. Come on.
As sons and daughters, you're very valuable to him.
Yes, that's for sure.
Very, very honored. And he said, you are a chosen generation.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen. We're going to have more time with you guys, but we're out of time. So God bless y'all.
God bless you, Brother Jeff.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a blessed day. We're excited for the next time you're on with us.
Whew, I'm stirred. I'm excited. I'm
going to meet tomorrow. We'll see y'all next time, amen.
All right. Blessings, my friend.
Blessings.
All
righty. Well, we've had a great morning here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. Josh, we did not do your manna on
Monday.
Man,
we just stirred up.
You
want to do a few minutes? That way people can have their own input on it. Yeah. I was saying they can have their own input. Is that okay?
That'll work.
All right. But now my manna on Monday here on Tuesday morning comes from John 14:13-14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. For some of us, it's extremely hard to ask for whatever we have need of. For others, asking is somewhat may be a way of life. I remember as a kid asking my dad a few questions, and he'd always tell me, are you writing a book? I would think to myself, what if I am? According to this scripture, we see where it is our Father's desire for us to ask, and not only to ask, but be specific on how we ask.
Yeah.
When Jesus instructed the disciples, he would give them specific details on how to do certain things to enable us to activate or them to activate their faith to bring him glory.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus said to ask, if you read the verses before this verse, they're talking about the word believe.
Mm-hmm.
My prayer is for me and for you to believe to the point that we ask in the power and authority of his name,
mm-hmm.
Jesus. It's not a matter of if he may do what we ask, but how. Are you getting results? Don't get stuck doing things in a way that is not taught throughout the Word of God.
Yeah.
He's writing a book, and your name better be in it. Be strong, stay strong, we strong.
Hallelujah.
So, anyway, but.
Come on, I like that.
But not, did anybody ever ask you, tell you before when you asked a question, are you writing a book, or was that just my dad thing?
You know, honestly, growing up, I didn't ask a lot of questions.
Okay.
People misconstrued. Insecurity for a lot of other things.
Yeah.
But I was so insecure internally that I didn't even want to ask questions. Okay. I don't want to embarrass myself or anything like that. So I just kept it to myself.
Well, see, I don't know if I'm the only one or not. Maybe that was just my dad's thing or whatever. He didn't mean nothing by it. He just said, what are you doing writing a book? Then he would tell me the answers. So.
Well, I mean, now I ask questions all the time. You learn.
That's right.
You have not because you ask not.
That's it.
And so, like... I'm asking for an electric guitar player. So you have not because you ask not, all right?
Amen, I'm asking too.
Does that mean they're going to bring their own or bring that one you've been trying to get rid of?
No, I got rid of that one. I bought it and then I never had time to play it.
I hear you. You did get rid of it then?
I'm not good at electric. Basically, I can play acoustic rhythm.
I hear you.
So I play like an electric rhythm, but I can't play all the leads with my tongue and everything.
Wow. But, oh, man.
But it is, Yeah, but I mean, I know what you're talking about. Like, you, a lot of times we have not in our life because we ask not.
Yeah.
And we have a father who's listening. Sometimes we're just not asking at all. And you know, we don't want to ask 24/7.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I think the greatest thing of prayer is fellowship and communion.
Well, see, that's what I was getting ready to say, too. When you said that, it reminded me that, hey, it's just not, your prayer should not be all about asking.
Yeah.
Your prayer should be fellowship. Your prayer should be like a communing with the Lord, you know, relationship, building that, just to talking, just to be talking to Him.
Yep.
Yeah. You know,
but with that, while we're communing, if we're asking for a spiritual gift or asking for, you know, something, more revelation, more, there's certain things that you can ask for that are literally like your desire is the Father's heart. Like,
that's it.
You know what I mean? Because there's been times I've been praying and I'm like, Lord, like, I don't want to ask too much, but I just want more of you. Like, can just pour out your spirit on me.
Amen.
Like, just give me more of who you are. And those kind of asking questions, when you ask those, get ready.
That's it.
Yeah.
The Lord will fill you. The Lord will give you the desires of your heart. If it's to bring glory to Him, just get ready. Buckle up.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, we're out of time. I have several I have several input coming in now, and I can't get to all of them. I'll leave us with this. Greg Carwile said, as an electrical inspector, I always say the only dumb question was the one that didn't get asked.
Oh, there you go,
and
brother.
I would say as an inspector, that's a good
saying,
I'd
say
right?
So. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry I couldn't get to everybody's text that was coming at the end of there, but we love you guys so much. We're appreciative of you all coming and giving us your ear on every single weekday morning, 7 to 9 a.m.
We love you guys.
Till tomorrow.
Have a blessed week.
Have a blessed week. Stay strong in the glory of God. Right. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.